So today is what? October 17th, 2017 policy session. And I assume we're going to do issues first?
We're on issues. I do have an addition to the issues list that I'm going to start with. I'm going to invite Barb Cartmell up to talk about a grant application for Knights Bridge. We have an adjustment to a grant application that was originally approved by the board. So Barb, be my guest.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Krepp. That's exactly what we have. We had an approved direction from the board for an ODOT grant with our 10% match, typical federal dollars for Knights Bridge for $1.5 million. And the project manager prepping the grant for submission yesterday afternoon realized that the criteria for award was a sufficiency rating of 80. So going from the bridge is currently at 39 to 80. And we were at 76 without doing some widening on the road. So when we built in the additional road widening, that moved the project up to $2.1 million. So it increased the road fund contribution from $154,000 to $215,000. So $50,000 for another $600,000 worth of work. It's a good, still remains to be a good use of the dollars, and just wanted to make sure you're aware of it and that no one had any particular concerns with it.
I'm okay with it.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I'm happy with it, and this isn't a criticism, but will it be done before the Columbia River crossing?
I can almost guarantee that.
I drove a car.
Thank you
Carver
for that nice
Bridge last
wide
goal.
No, just head nods are fine. I just want to make sure you're aware of it, and
we're good.
We didn't slip
Thank
something
you.
By. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you. Okay, we've got commissioner committee updates.
Who wants to start? Yeah,
and
mic.
It was, yep, no mic on.
Oh, all no. Your mic, Ken, you need to turn your mic on.
Okay. MPAC was about housing, and they're going to continue, I think, to be looking at other jurisdictions. So we're going to be following that pretty closely.
Okay, great. Ken?
Well, not so much a committee update, but I just want to reiterate a thank you to Gladstone City Council and the communities of both Gladstone and then Jennings Lodge and Oak Grove for their patience and their willingness to work through the legal issues that we had and actually solve the problem. And it was very much appreciated, and I just wanted to have that on our record. Thank you.
Paul?
I don't have very much, actually. Just looked at my calendar. But I did have, as you know, I've been going a lot of the whether they're seminars or conferences on that are related to housing one way or another, transportation and housing or housing all alone. And I just wanted to ask Martha, from an impact perspective, if there is an opportunity to, before the year's end, preferably, as we know, at the year end, the chair changes, but usually in the last and end months of the year, they use whatever sounding board or references as to what the agenda ought to be for the following year, the carryover.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering where you think, I don't want to get into conversation because this is just issues, but, you know, how do we set the table for a regional dialogue on, I talked to Mayor Gamba yesterday about this a little bit as well, but how do we get the dialogue started in a more in a governmental way as far as Goal 10, city responsibility, what are we doing to help zoning that can allow more housing to be built that's affordable without the government doing it, private sector development and so on, but where do you see any opportunity there?
I see it as continuing. I don't know who the next chair is going to be. I think it's Washington County's or Multnomah County's turn. So I'm not sure. I mean, Gamba took our Clackamas County slot for the time being, you know, which was a good thing. I think the conversation should continue, but I think we also have to set that table in context of an urban growth boundary expansion and what that means for housing, because that's going to start moving up the, you know, level. And also because I think legislation passed that allowed you to do it mid-term, mm-hmm. if you will. I forget. I think it's like in the middle of like every 6 years normally they look at it. I don't know the exact numbers, but
mid-cycle. You know,
mid-cycle.
It's a three-year point.
Yeah, it's kind of what I think putting it in context of land supply is going to come up as well. And again, what does that mean for the private sector? So yeah, I don't see that. Hopefully, I think Mayor Gamba has done the leadership to make that move forward, and I don't see that stopping in any way. So, but yeah. And where are we with our cities in terms of a housing analysis? That would be my
question. Well, it's C4. We're not getting a lot of, well, Jim knows, we're not getting, and Don knows as well, we're only getting, and actually Mayor Gamba's frustration as well, there's just not a lot of buy-in from enough of our cities to make a difference. I don't know where we are on that housing assessment.
I think we were going to price it. And
we're going to issue an RFP.
Yeah, we're going to RFP.
How many acknowledgments or yeses were in did you get?
I don't know.
Do you know, Rich?
I don't.
Yeah, I don't either. I think they're all waiting for a price.
Right. I would say just get it set at the regional table. It would be important to have something like that in place as one of our counties, one of the metropolitan counties. That would inform the conversation. So.
I'm contemplating just popping in another impact meeting in short term to help maybe suggest that the next year's
Absolutely.
Agenda be cover
Have
another
housing.
Facet mm-hmm. of that that's really not being talked about enough, mm-hmm. I think.
Good.
So just heads up.
Okay, Sonia, anything? Okay.
I'll work on that with you.
So we're meeting with Dan Holliday and other folks in Oregon City about the courthouse. Want to make sure he knows what we're contemplating. We want to thank people who attended the Veteran Pod building opportunity. It was great. I ran both my batteries down.
Two.
And it was great. I mean, we almost had too many people. Because
2 hours early on Saturday.
Yeah, we got ahead of the.
By the time I got there, they were done. I was like,
yeah,
right.
We got ahead of the process and had to take some walls back down and turn them around, put them on because the guy couldn't get to us fast enough. So it was great.
The problem was we just didn't know which end was up.
Yeah. I think Tim Hyder and public relations folks did a good job. We had some media attention. Couple reporters, Channel 2. I saw myself on television for 5 seconds.
How was your hair?
I was wearing a hat because I was worried my hair would be blowing in my eyes. Anyway, it was very good. And then Family Justice Center, we had half a day discussion about future of the Family Justice Center, and those discussions continue today and tomorrow, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Rolls into Wednesday a little bit.
Yeah. So I thought that was very valuable, and mentioned that Don had some experience in this arena, too, up in Thurston County. So I think there's a lot of potential, you know, side across the street. Frankly, I think at some point we need to put a sign on it, maybe. It says future home, and just get people thinking about it. I'd say one of the, I left that results card out of my pocket. That we don't communicate our successes enough. And I think we could do a lot better job of that. But actually, the sheriff's comment was very good. You know, one of the problems with community successes is that more people come. And they are at capacity now, and we still haven't got Oregon City's authorization to add any capacity. So that's been a problem. So You know, there's a lot to talk about, but we're doing some master planning for the area, and we met with the sheriff about the jail, and there's just, we have a lot on our plate in the next few years. We're going to have to go to the voters a number of times, or maybe at least a couple of times, to see what interests they have in a courthouse, perhaps, in a family justice center, transportation. We have a lot on our plate in the next few years.
So just a little, so maybe a little plug, maybe. Don knows, I think, more about this because he's on the housing, our little housing group. But when you speak to the mayor, might want to just drop that little hint about the pod, that we're not going to meet the deadline as far as removing them from the site.
Yeah.
That's okay. All right.
Okay. Good. So the next item I have on the list is a request from Commissioner Schrader to talk about the questions that have been posed as a part of the legal review for the authority of the Tourism Development Council.
Yeah, and in your packet, you have a last set of questions, and those are dated August 8, 2017. And there's been an issue between the executive folks of the TDC and our county council and our executive.
We don't have what you're talking about, Martha.
Well, I have this, Commissioner Committee Updates, and Emily has attached this for me, a set of questions.
I think she just attached that for you.
We don't have it.
Can we get that one?
Yep.
Can I get a copy of this one?
I remember the questions, basically. I was okay with the questions.
I'm just going to work from I have multiple iterations.
Should we just do the next item until we get the next?
Oh, yeah, that's good. Or otherwise, I was going to come sit by you.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead. Let's do the next item.
Okay, we'll come back to that real quick. So the next item I've got is just the agenda review for this Thursday. Remember that we're going to start at 9:45. We have a short consent agenda for the Housing Authority. Then we'll have a presentation on the on earthquake preparedness and the shakeout drill, a quick action on the consent agenda, and then at 10:19 we'll do drop, cover and hold, and then evacuate the building to the appropriate location to evacuate. We'll conduct it just like it was a real event. So wanted to make sure you all are reminded we're going to start at 9:45. And then in the evening, we have you meeting as the Board of Directors for the North Clackamas Parks and Recreation District. And as you recall, last time you met in that capacity, you asked to schedule the meeting at 6 p.m. rather than earlier. So it'll start at 6 p.m. Again in the Public Safety Training Center. So
that's seems that. Like we just had that meeting.
Yeah, it does. Let's go by pretty quick.
What's the next? And the next item is the
Next item. I shared with you a communication I received from Jada Rupley, who is the superintendent for the Clackamas Educational Service District, and she was letting me know that she and the other district superintendents and the president of Clackamas Community College meet on a monthly basis. And they have talked about and are inviting an opportunity for them to come meet with you in what would be a work session sometime in the near future. So I wanted to share this with you, let you know that I planned on trying to find some potential dates and times for that to take place, assuming you would like to have it take place. And then I'd be working with Ms. Ripley on what would be a draft agenda for what that meeting might take a look like. So wanted to make sure you were aware of that, and that you're interested and willing to do that.
Okay, so we okay with that? All right.
Yeah. Okay, so we're still going through the other items. Yeah.
Before you end this, if you could maybe ask, what I would like to take advantage of this opportunity is getting some kind of an assessment as to what they feel. Both hunger and houselessness issues they think they're experiencing, and be prepared for that, because I think that's something that'd be a unique opportunity, so I'm all for it, but I think one I'd want to maximize by getting some responses to that.
Okay, it's a good subject. Okay. Did you want to go back to that then?
Sure, let's pass this out. So this is a set of questions. The Tourism Development Council, we have finally decided with Mr. Madcore as a group that in order to clarify authority structures, that we would ask a set of questions. The difficulty has been that it's taken months because nobody can seem to agree on the questions. I've been the liaison. I wonder, Jim, did you have that October 3rd meeting? I know that you had sent out an email with you, Sonia, Peter.
Yeah,
did
no,
that
we
ever
did
happen?
Not have that
okay.
meeting.
So you hadn't gotten together to discuss that. I'm at the point where I think the whole board needs to see the set of questions. They need to, you need to help us decide what we want to ask. I've been looking at the emails. I'm not sure that the rest of the Tourism Development Commission has been aware of these emails going back and forth. I think it's been under, when you look at it, confidentiality. But we've been working with John Erickson and Peter about this. In the meantime, it's been, as a liaison, it's been my priority to make sure that the work of that board is not disturbed, because they do really, really excellent work, and because they move ahead very quickly, and they do great marketing, and they're doing a fabulous job. This has been simmering for a while, so I'd like you folks to look at these questions, and if this isn't the time for feedback, then we should schedule a session for feedback.
Yeah, because these are totally different than the questions I just saw last week.
This is August 8th, so this tells you this is what's been going on since August 8th. I have an email here, October 3rd, from Mr. Madcore. There's a response from Peter. So I guess my question to you is, I'd like to get you all of this. This was the August questions that were the beginning of it. We need to decide on what the pressures are going to be as a board.
So if I may, these questions were the same questions that Mr. Madcore reviewed with the board in executive session just preceding the August 8th mailing to Mr. Watts and Mr. Erickson. So these are the questions the board agreed to have considered by this independent review. About a week or so ago, Mr. Watts then sent back to Mr. Madcore a different set of questions, three different questions. And I then sent my own thoughts back to Peter, and then Peter sent a communication back, which I shared with you all, about his explanation for why he thinks we ought to pursue these three particular questions. My discomfort is both Mr. Madcore and I are working from a set of questions that was reviewed by this board in executive session that you conveyed authority for us to have asked and reviewed by this independent council.
I just want to add that I thought these questions were already being reviewed. I was surprised to find out that they weren't.
Well, we don't know when we don't hear back. And people have real lives.
Well, yeah, but see, that I think that it should have been communicated to us that hadn't happened. I didn't know anything about it until I asked him. Stephen, well, have we asked him? He said, well, we haven't got an answer back.
No, we haven't.
Well, I thought we were actually in the process. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I do kind of recall some updates here and there, because there's been, like, no response back, and then the attorney had a medical issue, and now he's back on his feet, it sounds like. But so I'm satisfied with the questions, but I assume TLT is supposed to be TRT.
TLT?
Yes, because we...
So it says TLT, number two, there it says, it's supposed to be TRT, right?
We changed it. We did. We amended the code to change it to lodging tax.
Better. That's good. For my friend here, who's always anxious to know what our acronyms are.
I just want to know what this board, the questions this board wants to ask, and if we can come to an agreement with the executive committee of the TDC of the questions. Because it has been going on too long. It's been going on since August. And frankly, I have gone out of my way not to rock the
August boat. Of last year? or this year?
No, this year.
I think it's been going on for about 3 years.
I think it has been. So Don, these are the same questions we already approved, right?
Well, I'm just trying to get it resolved, right?
So, correct. Could I ask Mr. Madcore to come up? Because there's been some communication with Mr. Berman about this and shared with both Peter and with John Erickson as an effort to try to reconcile the continuing differences. And so.
So what do we got?
Commissioner Schrader is correct that the questions that were presented to Peter Watts and John Erickson were those that were authorized by the board. Last week, we got some modified questions from Peter Watts. You can ask all the questions.
Ask them all.
I would say ask them all.
There's like eight.
Who cares?
I thought we circulated those as well.
You did?
Yeah. You know, it was from you. I can look it up.
That's yours.
I just don't.
You should have got him via email.
Ken was
reframing them a bit is what it was. He had one question whether the voters had the authority to create the TDC.
That's already on here.
Yeah, but right. We already know that they did. Was there any dispute about that?
I say no, but apparently there is.
Anyway, Ken.
It seems to me it boils down to sort of a fundamental question of responsibility. If we have the liability, if there is a lawsuit or if there is a mistake on the part of employees of the TDC, which are county employees, who has that liability? If we have the liability, then it seems to me we should have the responsibility and consequently the authority in the final analysis. If we do not have the liability, then the question is a little bit different. But it seems to me that those three concepts are directly linked. If you have the liability, then you need to have the authority, then you have the responsibility to pay out if it goes the wrong way, which means you should have the authority to make certain decisions, or at least have a significant overview over the decisions that are made. And all the rest of it seems to me to be dancing around it, quite frankly. So from my point of view, I just want to know, if we as a county have the liability, then why would we not have, consequently, the responsibility and authority? And if we do not, then let's stay the heck out of their business. That's the way it comes down to me.
The problem is there. We have a lot of advisory groups. We're actually paying insurance for those advisory groups that tourism pays to a fund and actually has to pay, because the sheriff used a lot of it, extra money in his lawsuit. So I don't know how that.
Well, here's the agent.
Totally different topics. That this had come up years ago when I got on a water district board, as far as what responsibilities a government can defer, and decisions that, because you actually, there's pretty limited, especially when there's public dollars, and these are public dollars. So I'm happy with the questions. I just want to state that right up front. But I do have a question. If we start adding questions, I'm just concerned about the cost of this in and of itself, let alone more questions. So what is the rough cost to do all this exercise? It hasn't gone on too long. I want to see closure. But what is the cost?
You've authorized up to $5,000 expenditure to be split evenly between the tourism funds and county general funds, and that was the dollar value that was conveyed to Mr. Berman as well.
Okay. Thank you.
So I think we want consensus. I would say at this point, just ask all the questions, because we need to stop this. But I wanted to answer Ken's issue. The issue we're dealing with is we're really neither fish nor fowl. In other frameworks, my understanding is, when I looked at it, is that the pass-through money goes to counties as the entity. Then they put out an RFP for a nonprofit, which is the way it's managed in other areas, to do the work. And they approve the master plan, but it's the choice of the county. Our issue is, we haven't done it that way. It's kind of under the umbrella of the county, which has worked extremely well and has had phenomenal success. which is why I think it's a good model, but then it raises these, quite frankly, these authority questions. Because if it's under the county, do we have liability? If folks aren't county employees, for instance, if we were to go to an RFP nonprofit model and folks would want to move, we'd have union issues. I mean, you've got this kind of meshing of an intergovernmental way of managing this. So that's really what the issue is. It's an authority problem, and it's whether or not the framework with which we do business applies to the TDC, and that's in terms of, I'm not talking about us rolling in saying how the money's spent. You know, we do that when we say yay or nay to a master plan anyway. We do that. I'm just talking about other policies and procedures, how you frame the budget, how you do rental agreements, how you hire people. If we're liable, then we have to have some, you know, some just following those procedures. It's a procedural authority issue. So that's the way my take is. And I just want to know, should we just ask all the questions and let it go?
What are the other questions? I'm like searching through all of my email.
I've got them here.
There's been so many of them that it's
And I'm looking at Peter Watts's email.
That would be it then.
But it's a narrative. I'm not getting his questions. Yeah. Maybe it's because I'm looking at a screen this way.
There was three questions they had. Or
so on October 4th, Peter sent to Stephen these three questions in response to the questions that we had sent back in August. Said, number one, did the voters of Clackamas County have the authority to create the TDC? And if the answer to question number one is yes, then does the code provide the TDC with the independent authority to spend transient lodging tax dollars pursuant to the tourism master plan?
That's this. So what's Steve?
No. Actually, it is different.
Oh, okay. Keep going. Sorry.
So then the third question is does the code provide the Board of County Commissioners with independent authority to spend transient lodging tax dollars outside of the tourism master plan if the funds are spent on tourism? And so those are worded slightly different. We had tendered a very specific question that went, I think, to the nature of the issue as you talked about it. So it says, does the TDC have independent authority to hire and supervise its own staff, enter into contracts, intergovernmental agreements and leases, to own property and equipment, and to sue and be sued? And that is a sort of a very specific drill down of what the Tourism and Development Council's authority might be. Mr. Watts, in response to the communication I sent to him, was suggesting that perhaps that the CDT, this is his theory, is that the TDC is essentially an independent unit of government established under the ORS 190. And his belief is if you came to that conclusion, that would answer the question I just read to you. And so I think you need to kind of pursue the whole dialogue about the meaning of the questions. And Steve has offered to have Mr. Berman meet with myself, Mr. Madcore, Mr. Erickson, and Mr. Watts to see if we can take all of these questions, refine them to what would be a decent scope of work to get to the heart of all the issues between the various parties.
You know, what's interesting and is occurring right now is that the museum and government camp is currently under TD's Department of Transportation, right? It's under where? It's under your...
The Urban Renewal District.
Yeah, and the Urban Renewal District. They want to transfer ownership to the TDC.
That would be... Depending on the answer, the county does.
And that's also true with another facility in Rhododendron. It's also true with the arts facilities, I believe. No, probably not. It had something to do with a roof. But anyway, it's an interesting issue. Yeah.
I just want to... you know, the answer to the question about liability, responsibility, and authority is a key concept. Mm-hmm. That said, I want to recognize that TDC, if you look at the numbers, has been, as Martha's pointed out, has been incredibly successful. And let's not, Let's not screw with success. Thank you. That's a good way to put it. Because even if we resolve the question and it says that the county has the ultimate authority to over-supervise and over-control an agency that's actually demonstrated incredible success on behalf of Clackamas County, I don't want to see that happen. It's under good leadership. It's doing a good job. It's more than doubled the revenues over the course of 6 or 8 years. I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. So regardless how the answer to this comes out, it could be simply a relatively light amount of oversight on your part, Mr. Grubb. But it does clarify for everyone where the liability, responsibility, and authorities finally lies if push comes to shove.
I fully agree with what you've just stated. Just as we're talking about the potential for the development agency to transfer property, the specific question is to whom can the development agency transfer property? And the question being, is the TDC a unit of government that can actually own property? Or would the development agency in transferring that property have to transfer it to the county because the TDC doesn't have that specific authority? The issue about leases, we're about to enter into an intergovernmental arrangement and lease arrangement with West Lynn. I would keep our fingers crossed on the dialogue about all that, but it's a very intriguing effort underway there. And then just making sure that we're crossing our T's and dotting our I's to make sure the right parties are executing the agreements in the appropriate way. When we have funds that are provided from Travel Oregon, which, by the way, are not funds that are subject to the TDC ordinance. They're funds that aren't governed by that. They're funds provided by Travel Oregon, and they're significant. We enter into an intergovernmental agreement with the state on that. Question is like other departments, intergovernmental agreements are required to be executed and approved by the Board of County Commissioners. And so we want to make sure that when we're working on those kinds of documents, that the right parties are signing and executing that paperwork in a way that makes sure that when you do have the potential for some kind of issue about accountability or litigation, that everything's kind of been put in its proper place and organized in the proper way. That's my goal in all of this, to make sure that we're doing that work, not to necessarily get involved with what I think is terrific work on the part of the TDC and the TCA staff. So
I'd like to also say that I think we ought to have a joint meeting with the TDC and this board and discuss all of this at some point and move ahead with the questions. But I just want to make sure everybody's aware of what's going on, because I'm not convinced that the rest of the TDC board has been briefed on any of this. To me, it seems to be a lot of internal within executive team. And past a certain point, other people have to be aware of what these questions are, because I think they'll help move things along. That's just me.
Paul. Well, I just want to say that using the analogy of the urban renewal agency, the development agency, transferring a property to the TDC or tourism is not that much different, really, than the development agency transferring a property to, you know, another department of the county. At the end, at the top, is the Board of County Commissioners representing one of those agencies one way or another. So I don't think that the fact that that exercise is taking place, that discussion or proposal is there, means that it's independent. It just means that is a process that ultimately comes back to the governing body, which happens to be us in all these cases, to make that ultimate decision under the arrangement administration in which the administrator is the key person on our behalf, right, to bring that back to us. So I think the chain of command, if you will, is still relatively the same.
That's the words but, I was using, thinking
and,
in my mind's chain
yeah,
of command.
And you know, and that's not, you know, I don't see any problem with the urban renewal development agency talking to tourism about how they move a property. That's perfectly appropriate. But at the end of the day, we are responsible for all of that underneath, and through our board design, this is how it takes place.
If indeed they're advisory.
Yep. And of course, if you look at budget law, if you just follow the dollars, budget law, who's on the budget committee? You know, it's the structure is there. That's the Board of, happens to be the Board of County Commissioners on behalf of the Tourism Department, correct?
Well, that's my understanding. That is, though, goes to the heart of the difference of opinion, I think, tendered by Mr. Watts over that. When he describes the TDC as a potential independent unit of government, that would suggest that it would operate independently of our budget development process, our financial reporting processes, and all of those sorts of things. That's why we need to get to the heart and just get these answered so we can make sure the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted.
Yeah,
so,
and I just want to just finish with this, and, mm-hmm. I mean, and that is that, I mean, I'm intrigued by the concept that somehow the voters pass something and there's dollars associated with that, hence a 190 or that section of the law becomes somehow an IGA by, because then you can actually look at other measures in which that happens, and which maybe even a committee is cited to implement whatever was in the ballot measure. But to take it that as just a standalone government agency, I think is an interesting concept.
Well, I think the idea was that the voters said we don't want politicians and chambers of commerce to determine how that money is spent. If you read the articles that were written, why the hoteliers put on the ballot the measure, it was to keep us out of their spending, out of their business of spending their money, and that's why the TDC was created. And I'd be happy to give you the articles. I got them in my briefcase. So that's the difference. You know, if we can come in and say, well, we don't like how you're investing this money, the hoteliers have a say in it. They sit on that board.
But did the voters knowingly say that TRT was going to actually be managed by the hoteliers?
Actually, I think it does say that.
Oh, well, check.
It says that in the article that they basically wanted the politicians out, their nose out of the business, and that's why the TDC was created. And so we can't go on this all day. We agreed. Let's send some questions.
Get the questions answered.
Sonia had one thing first, and then we'll go back to you.
Yeah, so I'm just curious, when you talk about them being an independent government agency, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's all the things that we do through procurement and budgeting and all of those, that infrastructure and even our liability and the insurance and the... So at the end of the day, is the goal to look at some sort of quasi-independent something? I mean, are we going to ask that question?
I don't think that's necessarily the goal of having these questions answered. Certainly down the road, if the board wanted to entertain a policy discussion about how best you carry out this enterprise, but that's not really what's under consideration at the current moment. For me, what the value of getting this process completed and having these questions answered is just getting some absolute unequivocal clarity among all the parties about just those very points you raised, the local contracting rules, the relationship of the personnel rules, the authority of parties to enter into agreements and those sorts of things. That's what I think.
And that's all they want, too, so let's get this done.
Because you can have an argument that it's completely independent, isn't it? Because that what is the best course
of action? Well, but the other completely independent entities get the job by an RFP as a nonprofit. They are independent. The only thing that the commissions do at that point is assess their master plan. Frankly, that's all that we do. This all came about largely, my estimation, is that there was a fear that we were going to start raiding funds for other things that weren't part of a master plan. And I think that was a legitimate concern. That concern is done.
With this board, it's done.
Yes.
But maybe not with a future board.
But
we don't want to put our hands on this.
Well, that's right. The future, it's an issue.
That's right.
Well, I was here when they were there were commissioners trying to take money, redirect how those monies are spent. I mean, that was occurring. And I think that there's no question that this is the questions they want, all of us wanted them resolved. And we've got to make sure that the questions actually resolve the questions, don't create new questions.
Well, that's what I'm concerned about. Well, and then so we can get the answers to these questions, but we could possibly, no, I guess we can't. I was thinking we could resolve the issues by a resolution, but that could just be overdone by any other future board.
Well, you will have record. Public record would say this is how we operated it under the umbrella of the county.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just talking about administrative procedures that need to be followed, because I would suspect, I'm not a lawyer, you're a lawyer, that we have some liability. That's all. I don't see the need for us to go off with an RFP and contract out. But I think we did do that at one point, actually. I think with chambers, and it didn't work well. It was a disaster.
So I just real quick, I want to just say that it might be a benefit for Commissioner Humberson and Commissioner Fisher to read all of the TRT ordinances, because there are, I think, three of them in the history, and then I think you'll see, and I think people are mentioned on the Fair Board side of the world, that maybe they got, almost say, well, that they were part of that. I won't pass opinion, but I have heard what they've said. But I think if you look at that, you'll say, well, maybe, if anything, I thought, well, maybe what we need to do to settle this once for all is go back to the voters with a clarifying question.
If it's ambiguous.
I was just curious about something. If the TDC decided to become a 501c3, can they then contract with the county for county employees to work for them? So they would have, the county employees would not lose their status as county employees, which I think is a...
Yeah, I don't know that.
But the TDC would have its independence.
That's a big barn door.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I understand that. I'm just asking the question.
I don't know the answer offhand.
Okay.
All right. So we've agreed to ask whatever questions need to be asked.
Deal.
All right.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
I think we'll continue to finish our issues list. This stuff should go pretty quickly. I'm going to invite Mr. Swift up. To talk about a letter of support for public health modernization.
Yeah.
And where did he go?
He's right here.
Oh. So you're on, Rich.
Why would we want modernization of public health?
But we don't.
We already were.
We don't.
Oh, it's so cool.
We want modernization because we would like to. So Richard Swift with Health, Housing, and Human Services. So public health modernization. The reason this is important because the state has taken a look at its public health infrastructure, and in that analysis that resulted in HB 3100, which was passed, I think, two sessions ago, where the state concluded it absolutely needed to upgrade its public health infrastructure. So it has slowly been swimming upstream financially related to funding this. And so they are creating grant opportunities for the counties to begin that upgrade process. And we have the opportunity to make an application with Washington County and Multnomah County for some monies to help us with that process. So this is a joint application, and what we are seeking at this point from the board is a letter of support to be signed by the chair towards this effort. And this is, and we have been doing a fair amount of work already with both those counties in regards to public health response, communicable disease investigation. Both counties have been extremely helpful, and also I'd like to say we've been helpful with them in terms of disease investigation, and we need to continue doing that because we realize that if we had a true communicable disease event that went across all of the counties, it would be a tri-county effort and response. So,
anybody have a problem with that?
No.
All right, thank you.
Beautiful, thank you.
Diseases.
Okay. Next, I'm going to invite Mr. Schmidt up. He's got a couple of items to talk about. First is the large urban county caucus appointment for NACO, but then you're also going to talk about the Chamber Estacada thing?
Yes. The National Association of Counties is inviting one of you commissioners to sit on the Large Urban County Caucus. This is a caucus of counties in the U.S. with a population of over 500,000. While Clackamas County is not there yet, NACO is inviting you to participate. The Large Urban County Caucus meets three times a year, once in February at the Legislative Conference, second time at the annual NACO Conference in July, the third time at a symposium in October. They study issues such as this year in 2017. Their items are municipal bonds, support marketplace fairness, protect Medicaid, promote county transportation, county transportation priorities, achieve mental health and criminal justice reform. So I'm seeking your input on which one of you would like to serve on this committee.
Paul, you got a question?
Yeah, so I just, when I saw the flyer for this that was handed out, it had the emphasis being on transportation, and so that's what I had my interest on, not so much on the other issues. So I know that we're all have our areas of focus, and I'm hoping that after a year, you know, year's time, our newest commissioners can, I think, help be kind of, you've been tied up with County College, drinking from a fire hose, and so on. I'm hoping that there is some of the assignments that you guys can help with, I guess. I'm overloaded. So I don't have a problem per se, but when it comes to the transportation element, that's where I think that I've been doing quite a bit. I think it's really, really important, and I think I understand that awfully well. So that is the only, my only interest, not necessarily for the position, but for the opportunity. And so I'm not interested, per se, in a long-standing commitment at NACO for in perpetuity or whatever it may be. It just happens to be that the topic of transportation and transportation priorities and policy is something that I've been deeply involved with. So that's, I don't know how we parse that out. I don't want a long-time appointment unless it's transportation only, and this is not, but this happens to be the focus for the January meeting.
Well, I would love to have the appointment because I've been working with NACO pretty regularly, and I'm a member of the Rural Action Caucus.
So you're going to be there anyway.
So you'll be there urban anyway. Rural.
Yeah, that's it'll be great. Urban rural. Well, but the issue is that even if I'm appointed, when it comes to the transportation piece, that we'll get you on the, I mean, if that's okay with you, but it is a broader, it is a broader committee than just transportation. But I don't see why we can't, you know, tag team that, particularly because of your interest in transportation. That would be fine.
But I think myself and Martha are, I think, probably doing quite a bit, and our newest commissioners need
could
to
have some
share load, some yeah, of that load, and Jim's taken on a whole new position, which is, you know, I think I've heard him voice, you know, his not concern, but that he's been, you know, he's
well,
got a lot
more.
Well,
they promised me I could sit down on a chair, and I don't sit much.
So on the housing side or MPAC or any of those things, I would love to see a greater presence in some of the conferences because it's hard, you know, it's not in my wheelhouse per se, but it's certainly something. But, you know, sometimes I'm there and some of the people say, well, you know, that is that something I do? Like, well, not really. I mean, it's something I have interest in, but I can't do all of it. Okay. So I'm hoping that
JPAC again, I mean, I'm just kidding.
Well,
so the first of the year is when we talk.
We need to talk about assignments and how much is external, how much is internal, because I think frankly, a lot of the local stuff is more important to us in some regards, but I don't want to discount
the
external national stuff. So we need to balance that out somehow.
Okay.
So Martha,
you're good.
Okay with the
if they ask us, I would like to do
Paul
that.
On the
yeah.
communication, but you should go to the conference then.
Yeah,
you said January.
Well, if I have a meaningful role, if not, then there's no sense in going.
It's like most things, even with AOC, it's a meaningful role, but you have to insert yourself into it in a way, whether or not you have a position or title, you just got to go and do it and be a voice at the table. So it's very open that way. This is important because to me it would round out the urban rural. Local yes. as well as the national stuff that we do.
And yeah.
For me, that's important. I've been doing local for so many years that this, I will tell you, it's a little bit energizing upon occasion to not only do the local but get the national viewpoint and how it informs what right. we do here.
Okay, let's.
All right,
let's move on. What was the other part?
A quick briefing. This Thursday, commissioners, you will be speaking at the Estacada Chamber of Commerce. You received a briefing packet and talking points. Just quickly, this is a very informal session. There'll be approximately 20 members of the chamber there. They're inviting you to join them for lunch and have a very informal discussion. You have up to 45 minutes total. They've suggested you could give updates for 30 minutes and then have 15 minutes of Q&A. You can do 45 minutes of Q&A. You can talk really informally with 20 people around tables. So I want you to be aware of that format for this Thursday's chamber event.
So do we have any introductory comments, or are we just questions?
There's no master of ceremonies. You just, when the chamber president says go.
Yeah, pick two or three or four, because 45 minutes goes fast.
Yeah. What do you want to do?
Well, natural gas is one thing that we could talk about, because there's still an effort to do that. Mm-hmm. Urban renewal, I mean, I think it's more about listening to them than it's about what we're doing. We talk about the housing assessment.
Transportation.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of stuff involved, because now the regional bond is involving Estacada.
Yeah, yeah. And now Portland wants to add $100 million for housing onto that bond. Did you hear that?
No. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ted Wheeler wants to
add. $100 million?
Yeah, $100 million. Anyway, I say we go for the flow, but what's interest to them?
Yeah, what do they want?
They're grateful that all five of you are coming to the Estacada Chamber. They would like to hear anything you'd like to talk about.
Yep. Let's just chat.
Well, I'll talk about transportation. That's what that's my wheelhouse, and then maybe we all just pick
CLT.
Something.
CLT, some veterans.
Talk about natural gas.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I can talk about the importance of community involvement, staying connected. Us mm-hmm. listening to that, we've got a lot of concerns on.
Also, the housing assessment.
Yeah, that would be good. City Council been invited to this?
Yes.
Okay, good. So they'll all be there. Yes. Okay.
All right, thank you.
All right, great.
Okay. Caroline, we have ABCs.
Yes, we do. The first one is for vector control, and staff recommended that Michael Shaw is appointed to the vector control.
It should be.
What page are you on the ABCs?
That first.
Yeah. All the packets are different. I don't have any ABCs.
Oh, wait, your ABCs are right here. Oh, no.
I don't have them.
You didn't bring the big packets.
So this happens often. So yeah. We have different packets. We should all have a uniform packet for issues. I've raised this before. That accessibility to that is at least in written form, because we seem to default to the written form.
So we have never sent out the ABCs with my list of issues. Caroline always sends those materials out as a follow-up email communication to all of you. I received a copy of it last week when it had gone out.
It might be good if one person did it for all of us, so that we do all have the same information, because we do get it in different ways and different formats.
Well, Caroline did.
But Paul, I am happy to share with you.
Caroline sent it to everybody in a form.
Yeah, I guess I understand that. Caroline's done a fine job. All I'm saying is, when we come here, we should all have the same packet.
I agree.
Because we already had a little bump where we had to wait for that, what Martha had on her packet, to be circulated around.
And because our emails, we get so many emails to try to search in the meeting to actually see it in front of us, impossible. I could not find Peter Watts's recommended.
So let's make it a different color so it doesn't get mixed up. Make it like pink or something, so that we all have a pink copy of that, so we know it's the same copy.
So I move we appoint Michael Shaw to Vector Control.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve Michael Shaw to Vector Control. Any other discussion?
I'm just curious. I have Leaders, Equity, and Inclusion as my.
There's two of them.
That's the next one.
Yeah, that's the next one. Any further discussion? All those in favor of Michael Shaw of Vector Control, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? Next one is Leaders for Equity, Diversity, Inclusion. We have Bonnie Lander, Claire Calhoun, Ernest Blackwell, Fernando Sobrevilla, Grant Starr, Joselito.
Joselito Tenega.
Would you please read these?
I can, yes. Joselito Tenega. Cara Merrick, Lisa Boyd, and we also have Candace Henkin and Stevie Newcomer.
Stevie Newcomer. Is there a motion?
Move to approve, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
It's been moved and to approve the list of recommended members to the Leaders for Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion. Any further discussion?
I just have a question. So these folks, are all the folks that applied? Were there other folks that applied?
With those documents, you can see sometimes if you see the summary, it tells you how many positions we have open, how many applied. So in this case, the group consists of 19 members. Recruitment took place in July and August, and a total of 8 applications were received, and members will serve a 3-year term. So it's kind of
everybody that applied is being appointed.
Not always, but yes.
But in this case, yeah. That was just my question. That's what I understood. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, 8, and the others are reappointments. Did we vote?
No.
No.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? Hearing none, motion carries.
Great.
You know, and Mr. Chairman, I have found that this approach, if you for these meetings, works very, very effectively. My Kimberly just puts this whole thing together. I don't have to search it out and try to figure out where it is on my cell phone or on the iPad, and everything is always right there.
Yeah, that'd be
and
great.
I mean, it depends on whether you like paper or not. Personally, I do, so it works particularly well for me. But I would just suggest you might want to take a look at that approach.
Yeah, so I'm just going to take this opportunity. So, number one, my point today is that we all have the uniform, same exact thing. So however that's done, I'm fine. The other point I want to make, I brought this up past maybe especially last year, was that we come to the issues and something's introduced that was not in the packet or not available, period. And that was, whether that's introduced by one of us or by staff, and it didn't get to Caroline in time. And so to have everything collected in one spot, whether it's I don't care, but having some uniform information.
Yeah.
Because we're always shuffling. I mean, this shuffle we did today is just, we do it every Tuesday.
Maybe Kim should just talk to the other.
Well, let me spend some time with the policy coordinators because I think they're the ones that make sure you have the materials that you have for here to work from. They're responsible for providing that for you. The material on the TDC questions, I didn't send out any TDC questions.
No.
Any materials affiliated with the TDC when I sent out the issues list, I think Emily provided that to Martha to be able to have as a resource to talk from when she met with you.
That's the problem with issues, too. Issues are supposed to be more on the fly, but they turn out to be more. I mean, just where you kind of update people.
Well, it really helps me, even if I've seen an email and that I've read it like 4 days ago when we're studying it, that I see it. Because I do a lot of work there, but if I don't have it, it's really hard to understand where the differences are between the different opinions that we don't.
Of course, if we install the chip, we could download all this stuff in each of you.
And thanks for saying that, because that's a great segue to the other thing we've heard over, and that is sometimes when something comes up and there is someone in our county that's interested in that, they don't have access to it, and then they say, well, you're not really being transparent. So the chip needs to be installed in all of us, all 400-something thousand of us, if you want to use the chip.
Sorry. All right, for that.
Then we'll be tracking. That will be bad.
I'm sticking with this. No chips.
All right, let's move on to scheduling.
Okay, I only have 2 items today. Thursday, November 9th, it is the Parrot Creek's wine reception at 5:30 at the Museum of the Oregon Territory.
I'll just defer to Brendan.
Okay.
If we can do it.
Okay. The other item I have on the list is for Monday, December 4th. It's the Oregon Business Plan's Oregon Leadership Summit from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's an all-day event at the Oregon Convention Center, and I saw in the calendar that Chair Bernard is attending and registered to go.
Yeah, we typically I'll be there.
Okay.
I'm there, too.
Okay.
So we are closed the 9th of November, Veterans Day. Says my calendar, Veterans Day, office closed.
Yes, we are. We were observing the
So just so you, that Parrot Creek wine reception were closed that day.
And I'm scheduled for the fair board that night, so I will not be going to Parrot Creek.
Okay. That's all I have.
I am going to go to Parrot Creek.
You are? Got it.
I've got it down, too.
Okay.
Well, I want it down. Yeah.
You want it down.
Yep.
Got it.
I've got it down.
You might as well notice it.
Yeah, really.
Okay, so we're ready for...